Good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, October 15, 2019. It is 9 o'clock a.m. We're gathered for general discussion in the Board of County Commission Conference Room. And the three commissioners are present. Good morning.
Morning.
First up is discussion on the advisory question regarding the county lodging tax, which I see is here.
Yes. Yeah, that and the result.
Mm-hmm. I don't see the results. Oh, thank you.
Yep, sorry.
I'm looking through the packet.
Yeah, it's more wider than I remember.
Oh, wait a second. This is not what I remember. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to be... I stand corrected. Thank you, sir.
No problem. We'll get there eventually, all of us.
Well, you know what it was is I don't know if I ever looked back at the end results after that initial. I don't remember.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. And I don't know where we want to move on this one. I know maybe we could ask the CEDC if they had an opinion on it. Because it is economic development.
True.
Or we could develop a task force or decide something on our own.
And when was this out?
That was last May, right?
Last May, and 58% said yes, do it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was closer to that.
I know. So, what do you know?
There's a couple of, I was looking through the clerk's reports, and there's different precincts are noted. So that's one of the precincts?
Oh, no, this isn't valid then.
It's only 700 and...
Yeah, we have to have the whole county.
The whole county.
I have three of the precincts. All of the precincts voted yes.
But that is countywide, because this will go countywide. We want the... I thought it was 52...
Right, that's what I thought.
48. It was pretty close.
With some decimal points in there.
There should be somewhere that you scroll either to the top or the bottom that has the whole county response.
Mandy! Da-da-da-da-da.
Josephine County election results.
But I thought it was really, really close, and that's why we thought, you know what? It might be worth doing that, and this would just kind of be another, I guess, a stab at it. Can you put this on there again?
I can ask Wendy to check with the clerks for a final number.
Well, what's weird is I got to the web page, and it won't let me click on. Can you go to the clerk's website?
Yeah, I'm there right now too.
Mine for some reason is twisted.
Did you break it on your work day?
1790. This one's 50-50.
Yeah, we don't want.
But that's
that.
A small one because that's a 55.
Let's go back
one.
A page.
See, this one's 45. Oh, this is 45-54. I don't have a final result. Oh dear.
So
I'm not gonna
they don't have one.
With
that's
all those people
final...
looking, I'm not going to start.
May 21st, precinct level.
They make me nervous, too.
We don't want the precinct level. We want the results. And they do not have it? How do they not have...
So...
Accumulation, yes.
So it says past election results, May 21st, final precinct.
What's weird is look at my phone. Official election results summary, PDF version, and then by precinct level. So my phone is showing me... Yeah. Maybe because it was only by precincts that voted, but it's still weird that they wouldn't have it. And what's weird is I'm looking at my phone, and it's given me an option to look at the overall, but it won't let me click it.
Yeah, and mine won't.
There's a wall there.
And that's not, that's really weird.
You haven't been cleared.
I'm not cleared for access.
Mark Seligman has been cleared, you have not been cleared. Go.
I think that... there's a lot of things that are going to happen next year, and I think that this November's election will dictate some of them. So the school board knows they need help with the schools. I think they're going to keep coming back election after election until they come back. Originally, when we had talked about a county lodging tax, we had talked about it being grant match dollars for fairgrounds and airports. And fairgrounds, I don't know if their status has changed. Do we wait until the two-year mark to see if there's a build or no build? Do you wait until the master plan or, you know, so I think that since the question was asked, we almost need to define where the need is.
Mm-hmm.
And before you...
I agree, because I think the first question out of everybody's mouth, what are you going to do with the money?
Yep.
Almost the first question out of their mouth.
Well, and we created a task force to look at fire district for the non...
Protected
areas around this area here. And I got an email from somebody on the committee yesterday. The committee hasn't even started yet, and they're already putting out paperwork saying they're going for the May ballot.
So it's a steering committee. We're steered.
So it's just one of those things that I think that...
Well, I don't think
we should one-off. I think it needs to be a bigger conversation of...
I think we need to look at it comprehensively. There's going to be so much on the ballots coming up in the next 2 years that I think people are going to go, that's enough, I've had it, and just start checking no down the boxes. They won't even read what it is anymore. There's just
some of that.
With what the city's doing, the school board's doing, and then the county has to chime in on something else.
Well, and I'd like to have a presentation from our finance department that told us the implications of this. What if you did put a 1% on top of the cities or 3% outside of the cities? What kind of revenue does that create? And
get some numbers.
What they had looked at before, I don't. They would be. Yeah, they can find out eventually.
A third of the. If we put a 1%, it's 3% on the city. If we put a 1%, it'd be a third of 1.7 million. So you'd be at 600,000 or a little less if you threw 1% on top of the city's 3%. The county would probably be a lot less. There aren't as many lodging opportunities until
the city's at 9% lodging.
They're at 9.
Because we were looking at doing 12 countywide, 3 in the city, and 12 outside, so everybody would be the same.
And so the state is the one on top of that already?
State,
if they're at 9, then 1% would be a ninth, which would be about 200,000.
Which isn't worth going to the voter for.
Well,
almost, I mean it.
Right. You could pay for a sheriff deputy, but
that's not tourism. Right. It has to go 70% tourism and 30% other.
I would counter that having sheriff's patrol protects tourism, and that it is part of economic development.
Like it's possible to
get it there. Do you think Wolf Creek would like their own deputy?
Right.
Just saying. There's an argument that you can say that you don't have tourism without patrol. We had... I don't remember what the last presentation was as far as... And I know one of the things that concerned me was... the Travel Oregon people were trying to do a regional lodging tax, which I don't think we were in favor of. But I don't know if we ever, as a whole board, actually decided.
Yeah, we didn't discuss it, really.
Was it before you came here that Brad did the presentation?
I wasn't here, yeah.
I just get really, really goosey about saying, okay, we're going to do something on a statewide level because the state then... They'll take 80%, and then we'll end up getting to 20% left, and we get 2% or 5%.
What was the state level? I missed that.
Travel Oregon.
He wanted to do a Southern Oregon.
Just Southern Oregon.
Because the amount of money they get from the statewide Travel Oregon gets a whole bunch up north and a whole bunch in Bend and little bitty down here. And they were coming to say, we're going to do this regional thing. And Julie had a plan for a lodging. And when she was economic development director, she's who came to us with the idea of the lodging to be supplemental for economic development. And quite frankly, this morning, I just don't remember what all the whole plan was. And it might be worth emailing her and saying, what was that?
Right. Was there a plan behind the ask?
There was.
Right.
And I just don't remember it today. I can go look at my stuff and
see. Sounds like it's not quite ripe. We need a little bit more information and some projections from our finance department so we know what we're talking about. And whether it's worth it to ask or add the burden. And then what might be done with the money as it regards economic development. So,
I am hesitant to... I don't know that I would necessarily ask the CEDC group.
Or the tourism group. Of course, that's
because they both are city focused. The CEDC is more countywide focused, but their biggest thing has been housing, and it's like, well, okay, but housing is a separate committee. So
I've been trying.
The other thing they said was invest in airports. That is one they see that is being totally so.
I don't want to get too many fingers in the pie, and then we don't get to do what we're pointing towards, like say airports and whatnot, and fairgrounds, and. They're going to go, no, we want to do this and that and this and that and the other thing. By the time it is, there's nothing left for airports and, oh, you'll get that somewhere else.
I am curious. The quarterly meeting at the City Council Chambers in Grants Pass, I don't see one scheduled this quarter. And it's at that meeting that we usually get a CEDC update. You know those Monday 11:45 meetings?
We haven't had one since the Allen Creek Road discussion.
Yeah, it seemed like we were missing a quarter.
We missed last quarter, and we're going into a new quarter, October 1st, and don't have one scheduled on the calendar. And so that's when we're supposed to be getting CEDC updates as well. I'm just curious if we can look into what's going on, when we're going to have a joint city-county meeting, if you'd be willing to email Karen. Because it would give us an idea of where CEDC is. We can ask the questions of, is there anything's rising to the top? You're the liaison. What do you hear in the meetings?
Well, they were housing focused for quite a while because of they had three housing summits that they invited people in, and I thought it was very productive. But I also tried, and they're working on rural broadband, but I also tried to say, hey, this... You know, let's not just be all about the housing. You guys got other other things you could focus on.
My memory was correct.
That's kind of what I remember. It was very, very close. And we thought...
There's the thousands of votes.
It just barely failed. And we thought that's close enough margin of error.
It's 50-50. I mean, you got a 200.
It is half and half.
It's 0.1%. Yeah.
But most of the questions I heard was differences. As far as, I'm sorry, specifics of what, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So thank you both for...
digging that up.
Yeah, because my phone was failing me. It wouldn't let me put a button. I know.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Hey, it got me home last night at 11 o'clock, so... All right, well, I think...
Yeah, that is tight. So do you go back with an advisory question saying what you might spend it on and see if you get a bigger answer? Because that sounds like double asking or second bites.
No, I think that you have to be specific about what you're looking at and have a plan before you ask further questions.
Right.
And I think because of everything else...
What you heard is that they wanted more detail.
Correct.
So we don't go out with the same question again. It's pretty generic.
You'd have to add some,
And then it goes from there.
What it would be and how much it would be.
You're suggesting holding off on this or not the May ballot? Not putting it on the May ballot?
For for this?
Maybe it is worth floating with the tourism and CEDC, but how does it benefit the county?
Right. Not the city. It needs a real presentation. We need to get the facts from Arthur about what it would produce.
I don't know that's his skill set.
Right.
I would suggest you start with Julie.
Numbers from,
yeah, but it's lodging doesn't go through us right now. We have no numbers on lodging as a county. Where the city did because they have a lodging tax. So they had someone who can give numbers like that. That's not something that's a known quantity. The county doesn't have a county business license.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any registration. And I would suggest that before you look at it, we also need to verify where our Airbnb situation is. And how does that get incorporated? Does it not?
And RV parks. How many RV parks we have and how many spaces they sell? Because RV parks would be in this too, wouldn't it?
I don't know. I've never heard that. Camping spots. This isn't something I've done before in this area, and it's not something I have the answers to. I don't necessarily think that I would want to go there.
What, RV spots and camping?
Mm-hmm. But, again, it's another question of, do you ask other people what you've done? We talked yesterday at the end of the day at AOC. They started a budget committee meeting at 5:30. And I'm on the budget committee. And the question came up about AOC having a research component, being able to gather details. Like when we asked that question, what are other people doing? What's best practice? What is blah, 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 blah? Is that something that they want? Do we want them to explore? And so
sounds like a pretty good tool.
Yeah, but they don't have it right now.
Yeah.
So I just figuring out who the right ask of is the question I would have. Who's the right person to try to find that out? One of the biggest pushbacks they had was from the lodging people, of course. And so why would that be if Travel Southern Oregon is saying, oh, there's no problem. We got tourism on. We got lodging on board. No, they're not. They're already collecting in the town. Well, what do we actually have in the county? Which ones are truly motels versus apartments that are, you know? And I don't know that it's going to. I don't know. There's just more information to be known.
More questions. So I can look into it and see what.
Let's try to get some answers and who would be the one to...
If there'd be any easy answers
mm-hmm.
is what I'd be looking for.
You should have some kind of matrix, like for instance, for the Hawks Inn up there, they're all rentals.
Does that count as a motel?
And that's what I mean. If they...
They rent them out as apartments.
They rent out as apartments. So but yet across the street over at Six Motel... They're still a motel, but yet they have weekly and monthly rates also.
Wow.
So do you say, you know, if you're 40% monthly rate, or do you just say, you know what, you're a nightly rate thing, and you're just amortizing over a week and a month, do you fall under the lodging tax?
So you might also talk to the city and how they actually do theirs.
Yeah. Yeah, I know some of that, but I'll verify. The methods.
But theirs has been in place how many years? And
many, many.
They have a mechanism. You also should probably talk to Eve Arcee. She is our tax collector. Mm-hmm. And our 3% option tax for cannabis is collected by her.
Right.
So as far as what would the mechanism for county be different?
Mm-hmm.
The Chamber of Commerce may be able to advise lodging in the area as far as a resource.
Okie doke.
Yeah.
All right, not ripe yet.
Okay, so the next one is State of the County Event 2020.
Yes, wanted to know if we could pick a date. And that will help us with item three, the appreciation event, because we want to schedule that too. When was it last year? Was it?
April 11th.
April 11th?
And the year before was like February 8th or 9th.
We tried to do it in February, but we just never got around to it.
Right.
There were plenty.
And which one's better? Yeah. What's the prime spot?
I don't think there was. So to keep in mind, this year...
can you put a calendar up there for February 2020? Or the beginning of 2020?
So department heads in February start doing their budgets to be into finance. Actually, to March is when they go to the department head liaison. Mm-hmm. And then to finance by March. So... and then April's kind of the little in-between of gathering before the May... Is May budget? Yeah, May's budget season. So as far as ongoing schedule, and then it's a short session, so that's going to be 6 weeks, February to March.
At state level?
Mm-hmm. I hear they're trying to come back with another cap-and-trade 2020, but they've gotten enough feedback that if they don't change it, and it's going to have the same results. So,
let me see if I can get when the city is doing theirs. But what are you thinking? Maybe late January, slipping it in before budget season starts, or are you thinking early March?
That might be another subject for our joint meeting, is coordinate that with the city.
Yeah, we could ask the department heads at their meeting, too.
Just ask them
what they think is best timing. Just their input.
Because
they know better what their bulk of the schedule is. And I don't want to overburden them when they're right in the middle of something else. Although I've heard they can walk, chew gum, and whistle at the same time.
Indeed. Yes. Don't forget clap. Okay, so...
Right.
I...
Farm Bureau.
Yeah.
Dan goes to that sometimes.
What's that?
Do you go to the Farm Bureau sometimes?
Sometimes.
Well, certainly we're going to have a State of the County address. Certainly it's going to be at the fairgrounds. We just need to come up with the proper timing that we think is best. And then alongside that, like I said, item three, talking about an employee / volunteer appreciation event, I want to get that somewhere in there.
So what we've turned into is the board is kind of hosts a Christmas gathering here, where they kind of, they've tried to make it nicer, but it's not much. But I guess sometimes the holidays are harder.
I thought the last two Christmas deals here were stellar.
Yeah, because our
everybody liked it.
Absolutely, that's the last. But
that's our only touch point, our only party of the year, right?
Yeah, and
so to speak.
And all right, they look nice. But no offense, it's the last place staff want to be. I had department heads putting in for mileage reimbursement because they felt they were ordered to be here. And you don't want any staff to feel ordered to be at a gathering. And I remember going, well, that's curious. And they're here obligatory because the commissioners are hosting. And that's why department heads come, is what has been said about the thing. Some staff come through, but staff in other parts of the county don't make it.
Right.
So if you're not in the courthouse, how do you appreciate the county employees versus courthouse employees?
I think we do it at the fairgrounds. Like, we've had that done in the past in different venues.
To have an actual event,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because I was wanting to honor volunteers, and I know we probably have 100, 150 of those, somewhere in there. And then we have employees, which is up over 400. That's a lot of people if everybody shows up. Pretty rare that everybody shows up. But I hate to overburden Christmas because there's other parties. There's maybe spouses of employees that have their own parties. There's a lot of vacation. There's money being spent at home. And I just looked at January, February as being a lot less active. And trying to, I first wanted to do some sort of barbecue in the summer, and then I was really afraid of smoky skies and busy managers.
Just set the burger out and let it smoke. There's a big fire going out here.
And so I know we need to do something, I just don't know what it looks like.
You can find out what that was.
Let's think bigger picture in the calendar. If, let's say we're in January 2021, mm-hmm. you potentially have two new commissioners, mm-hmm. and you are the senior commissioner at this point.
Don't scare me this early, but yeah, go ahead.
I'm just saying the what ifs, because uh-huh. nothing's guaranteed. We both hope for a different outcome. But,
right.
So is a state of a county 1 month after two new commissioners are elected the right time to do it?
Yeah, no kidding.
So what time of year is the right time of year to do a state of the county? Now, granted, the President of the United States does a state of the county on the 20th of January, or no, he's inaugurated, and then
on the 22nd.
State of the county is right away. So it's the start. This is my marching orders. So right. is the state of the county our marching orders of what we're going for, or is it a report on what we just did the last year?
Bit of both.
And if it is, which is the better timing right. of if you, every 2 years, going to have a new commissioner coming in and taking part, what is the best timing?
Yeah, is it March 1st? Is it February 20th? Is it January
29th? And that's how somehow we ended up in April, not because it was new commissioners. It was just, and every other year is, there's just stuff. I know that March every year is legislative conference. Justice reinvestments in February.
Have the managers met yet? In October?
Yes.
So it'd be November?
Uh-huh.
Which gets a little scrunchy on some things, but maybe at the beginning of the month then? First week or two?
We'd have Annette send out we can do a poll.
Yeah, we could just and skip the meeting. Let's do that. See what they think.
It's like a Survey Monkey type of poll?
And see if they want to... well, what do you guys think about including the volunteers? Because I like that networking opportunity.
So, two different questions.
Yeah.
State of the county.
Yep.
Let's figure out the time for that.
State of the county is us reporting to the people.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other one's
We didn't adequately notice it last year. We need to absolutely make sure the realtors are notified.
I wrote that down, Arvar.
They claimed they weren't. I didn't know whether we did or didn't.
Yeah, they were. It was a miscommunication on their end from their Medford office or their Grants Pass office. And. Yeah.
Well, and we need to start developing that list, all the chambers, the realtor associations, the whatever other rotaries.
Needs to be in there.
Yep.
We need to reach. Get a card out. They get a deal and an RSVP and a reminder and so on and so forth.
Yep, and a social media campaign to match it. And,
That Jason can do that.
Yep.
Okay, so I didn't come up with an answer for you, but I...
No, but I think we've...
Things to think about in the decision.
We moved it forward in the process that we're... I think we got some things to sink our teeth into, right, Annette?
Mm-hmm. Okay, employee volunteer appreciation event. The one thing that we always fall up against in January is the third Monday of January, third Monday of February are holidays and there's time off.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I have to keep that. That was the third week of Jan?
Third Monday... Of January and February.
Right.
So, yeah, MLK and President's Day, essentially. And so that, I remember it's like one of the airport's advisory boards met on the third Mondays for a while. It's like, well, I think IV. I'm like, well, that doesn't work in January and February.
They only have six meetings a year.
Yeah. So, and I think, honestly... as you get a first one going, you might not have the same participation, and people are going to be anticipating. I think this is something... I
Well, because
I'm trying to think of how many would come, and would you do it as a combined event or versus one event?
I was almost thinking the first year of a combined event. Then it's whether it's combined or not, and then when is it, and then what is it? You know, is it some kind of dinner? What does that look like? And so that I don't know, but I picture some cornhole tournament there at the fairgrounds building, something fun to go with it. And so
challenge accepted.
I love it. I'm usually good.
There's always the old standby, Lily Morgan in the dunk tank.
In January, we'll put it outside.
Write that down. Great idea.
She'll be in her park.
Why should I show up? Well, Lily Morgan's in the dunk tank. I'll be there. Stack of quarters about that.
You know, it's so interesting. You literally flinch as you see that baseball coming at you.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah, there's no change in that particular moment.
I haven't been able to turn that off. And
I don't blame that.
Yeah, it's like when I see a semi crossing.
I would recommend that. I would recommend you pull a committee together of county departments. I'm not talking department heads. Yep. I'm thinking the Lornas of Public Works and the
Sarahs of Parks.
She's a department head, but. I'm thinking of who are some folks that you can get feedback from that could maybe help. And that way you're getting...
Codify that.
For the event, then you're also getting employee participation, helping drive what they'd like to see. And, you know, if you...
So you're thinking a handful, less than six or whatever?
Yeah, I mean... I've heard some agencies have different departments trade off, so some are better than others. But I mean, it's a potential, so it's not. It could be that we say it's the DC. Oh, I said DC. Darren Calvert, I used to work with, so the DF show. So you know, it could be that you say it's just you, but how much is that on you?
Right, and I don't want it to be on me. I think. Maybe you could. We could have Annette put together a proposed list of potentials and ask each one of us, hey, how's that look? And
so we want a committee that plans, drives, and executes.
Mm-hmm. Recommends. So that we can, as a board, too, go.
Okay, so recommend.
Sounds good. Yeah. We'd want to at least have a voice in it.
Yeah, the plan, the permission, then the execute.
Yep. Yep, I have the permission in there, number two or three. Yep, because there's people that already have that passion, ability, and notion that could really help move that in a successful direction, so, yeah.
Community Corrections does that yearly. Not for volunteers, but we have our parole and probation week, where we honor our whole department staff with some kind of... like we gave them bags that they can carry the computer and laptops in and things like that. And people are
water bottles that had their names on.
Right, individually acknowledged in the whole department. So
nice.
Yeah. Maybe something to look at.
Well, we've got to grab their party planner then, too.
Well, when you have a fund source.
Right. It always takes funding. We'll figure it out, though. There's always a way.
Okay.
And, my main thing is we really need a moment to get together where we're not making a decision about something. Mm-hmm. Not trying to report the state of the county or whatever. We need to have a moment to relax a little.
Well, and I mean, our schedules and such, and we should remind me to bring that up later. We really should be trying to see about coordinating, and do we work in workshops? Do we work in those work sessions of, like I said, I was going back through old 2002 agendas, and it was Monday through Friday of agendas of the board working together. And we're all kind of going this and that, but I think there is a time that every once in a while we can step back and say, what are the things we have to talk about that we don't have time to talk about? And have those times in there. but I'm not asking us to be Monday through Friday booked out from 8 to 5.
No. But I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Okay, so liaison reports?
We're just about, I don't know if you've seen it yet or not, but there's a copy of it on the thing. We're talking about the Williams intersection out there.
Right.
There's a lot of angst with the first design of it coming, you know, they always want to come in perpendicular instead of having the Y and so on and so forth. And there is a proposal out there. I don't think it's gone to Williams yet. I think it's gone to some of the people out there in Williams for their comment that it's a roundabout out there. And it's I think it's on the counter out there, just kind of what it is. There's very little. There's only just a little sliver of land acquisition on one side. But it's also on the center where the concern always is about trucks having to make that turn. It's what they call that a mountable curb or something with nothing in the middle of it. There's not going to be planters or anything in the middle. If you were really in an emergency, you could drive right over.
I was envisioning the orange Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, yeah.
Launch?
Yeah. We call that a flyover. They're going to put in a Dukes of Hazzard flyover. Speed limit minimum 80 miles an hour because you're not going to make it if you're not. But anyway, that's kind of kicking around out there. Bill Ertle came in the other day and he was interested in a walking path element to go from by the school and the store down there to the other store in Grange. Talked to Rob Brandis about that yesterday. He's been talking to the folks in the feed store out there and everybody along that, I guess that would be the west.
Side that was losing driveway access and parking access.
Right.
He's talking to them.
They were talking about possibility that, you know, we would supply the labor for training if they got the easement through there for a segregated walking path between the two things. So he was going to go back to them with that. I haven't talked to Bill since then. I just met with Rob yesterday. So that's on the works. Just got back a report on from the airports on the FAA. The FAA said your first bite at the apple on runway extension will be roughly 400 feet, which is really doesn't do anything. But I think that came with a caveat that you need to demonstrate more heavy jet traffic in and out to justify going out the 1,500 or whatever they want to add to the runway. So Larry's working with that. Dutch Brothers has one airplane that is over 12,500 pounds. And they have to have 500 takeoffs and landings of an aircraft over 1,250 pounds documented in order to justify the additional runway. So that's what they're trying to put together now. And, you know, Dutch Brothers is going to write a letter because they're purchasing it. They're taking possession of another jet now and one in, I think, February or March, that will have to go to Medford because it can't land here. So they're going to push real hard to see if they can get that usage up there to FAA standards to have them reconsider it. They said, you're out 10 years at least on the full runway extension. And
That's wasting money.
Huh?
That's wasting money.
I think we're all in full agreement, but you know, they change, Larry says, they just change hierarchy at FAA and then somebody else steps in. You have everybody convinced that this is a good thing to do and that guy retires and a new guy comes in and says, well, I'll wait just a minute here. And they kind of basically start all over.
But you know, I think this is, Congressman DeFazio is chair of transportation.
I mentioned that.
He is speaking at an event in Portland in November.
Yeah.
And November 5th or 6th at an aviation thing, it might be appropriate for you and Larry to go up there and get arranged a meeting with DeFazio and say, this is a problem with administration changing, and this is it's actually
right.
holding our community back.
Right.
And see if...
Because they told us, they said, update your airport plan. Your master plan. So we spent money to update our plan. I said you got to, because in order to get that runway extension, you have to have a current master plan. Well, if you go 10 years out, they're going to want another master plan then. So it's one of these chasing the carrot.
Perpetual.
But I think that might be a really good idea. Let's see if we can't put that together in November, because I think that is a good shot, as good a shot. If DeFazio calls the FAA and says, hey, wait a minute, this thing's been on the docket for months, and now all of a sudden you change it? Why? You know?
And they're going to do, it's going to cost twice as much money.
And that would give us opportunity also to present the need. Dutch Brothers, I think, letter from the board would be really, really good.
Larry and you would need to get your presentation down to
right.
a 5-minute spiel for DeFazio, but have you talked to his local staff?
DeFazio's?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Like I said, we just found out about this last week, and that was Tuesday's meeting.
Let me get you his chief of staff's contact information at DC, who can get us the local contact to see if they can get you an appointment. And that would be what I would recommend, is get directly in front of him to say, can you help us with this? Because they like solving problems.
Yeah.
All congressmen, like, if when you go to them, say, I have a problem, will you fix it?
Right.
If
and
they
a
can
solution
run off,
to go with it.
Yeah. Any other liaison report?
I'm going to a Fairgrounds Fair Board meeting tonight. I believe they're going to probably bring Lonnie up as chairman because he's vice chair. And I think that might be what it's about. I don't think it's their regular scheduled event, but it is this evening, so I'll figure out. I'll find out. I haven't looked at the agenda. Appreciate you going to the Dan Shepherd thing. That was very, very nice. That was like old home week to a lot. I hadn't seen Bob Shepherd in 50 years.
Wow. Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I said, yeah, you know where I got? Yeah, I do. He says, my brother right here and you're right here. Two Dannys from the same neighborhood on the front page above the fold. I said, but for two different reasons. And neither one of us wanted to be there. And he makes a good point. But, I haven't seen Bob in a long time. And Sherry and Cheryl, it was good to see them. And just a myriad of people from Grants Pass High School, Blanchard,
sure.
were all there, and it was really good to see the turnout and the outpouring, because it was he's a great guy. Well, Danny was a great guy.
I don't think anyone who's grown up in Grants Pass hasn't heard about the camaraderie between the class of 66, 67, 68, that era. And
it was one of the last years of the full high school.
Yeah.
When I came back, they split it all up, and that became Southern Oregon Grants Pass University. And Friday night lights were all gone. School pride was gone. It took a long time to build that back up. Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a big gaposis in there. But we all stick fairly close together. So. But yeah, that was a good ceremony. And let's see, what else? That's about it. Sheriff has been doing a lot of busting on the marijuana stuff. Of course, now is the time to do that, but they're harvesting like crazy. I understand there was another warehouse burned to the ground.
Yeah, I heard three in the last week.
In the last week, but six total altogether. And I'm having been in the hay business one time, you take agriculture and you bail it early, you got yourself in a bomb. And we've blown up haystacks half the size of this building. And I mean completely blown flat with the ground because
wow.
of internal combustion, spontaneous combustion. You baled it too green. And that heat, boy, you can go out and see a bale spoken. You go, wow, I need to bust it open. And it immediately bursts into flame.
Wow.
It really, really gets hot. You got to, when you're in agriculture, you keep an eye on that moisture content. My boss used to go out there at like 3 o'clock in the morning, grab a handful of hay in the field, and he'd go like this. He'd say, let's bail it start. Let's get going now. And I don't know what this did, but it was how many stalks break and how brittle it is. It says how dry it is. I don't know. But we'd start bailing at 2 o'clock in the morning because if he said bail, it's time to bail. You couldn't do it too green because the stack had fallen.
Wow.
So I'm thinking that's probably what it is. But
Darren?
For me, I went to Lipsick. For you, and they had a vote on
the CCA.
Or maybe they did. The one I was going to report on was the naloxone. They were talking about whether to put it in the addict's hands or not, and the vote ended up yes, that it was worth it to have it that close to the potential problem. few holdouts on that vote, but
how do they do that? Right now,
we're talking about giving it in the backpacks that leave the jail potentially.
There you mm-hmm. go. I was trying to figure out the mechanism because we get grants from DEA or one of those that put them in the patrol cars, and Nate had to work for a while to get permission for the POs to get it because they were just doing patrol.
And they all have it now.
So if they got to the point that they are giving them out in the jails, are they giving backpacks out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, not necessarily right to the alligator. If there is a family member nearby, they wanted to include them as well. But it's not always the case. It's not always the story of the family comes and picks up the addict.
What was public health
jail,
sway in
so.
On that? Were they a part of that conversation?
They were. Yep, they were. And they said the stats pay out that it does help. There was some emotional, you know, why would you give him a ripcord so I can have more drugs? But he's like, it doesn't really, by the time you're to the point you need it, you're not making decisions anymore for yourself. And someone else is having to step in and do that. So if you even had it with you, they oh, great, I can pull it out of your backpack and try and save you. But they had the stats on saves, which were pretty encouraging, which I didn't bring to this meeting. But, yeah, there were also concerns that it becomes normal, you know, like that I have an out, I have a ripcord, so I can go ahead and abuse because there's a ripcord. And they're saying it doesn't really work that way. It only covers you for like a half an hour, and there's different effects for different levels you've had intake on and your weight and all those things. And so it's not the panacea of all.
No, but there are some that think it's a fail-safe, so therefore they're more risky.
Yep.
And we've had deaths because of it.
Yes. And so
do they have any, well, of course, this stuff's fairly new, do they have any stats on repeat offenders?
Many.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. We didn't
hear
the repeat.
So a person he's OD'd and you...
Okay, happen. I don't have stats on it. I've heard stories in town of one person that overdosed three times and it was, and then they didn't make it. You know, it was kind of one of those things that the risky behavior increasing because they thought they'd, oh, I got myself fail safe.
Right.
Well,
got a rip cord.
I don't understand. I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I think that one of the things that a person that wants to get loaded, the ultimate high, you know, you're talking about people that suffocate themselves because they want that near-death experience, and the closer you can get to death, they consider that to be a high, and that you bring them back, they go, wow, I'm going to go do that again. And I don't know how that works out. But
yeah, hopefully
it's
that's
just a
smart.
Sad state of affairs. The whole thing is absolutely gonna put a real strain on our entire way of life.
Yeah. Health systems and treatment systems and mental health treatment. And it's so hard in America because as fast as we're trying to beat the flames back, we're over here feeding the fire saying, well, I still want it. The demand's still there.
Yeah.
It's hard to knock that down to any level, especially these days. There aren't any huge campaigns and just some health advisories.
Even after the pain's gone, you're going to say the pain's still there.
And boy.
Just keep with it.
I'll never forget. There was a movie in the 80s that was supposed to be futuristic, and I don't remember what the movie is because I don't think I made it but a couple minutes into it. But it literally started with all these people living on the streets going up to stations where they can get their drug fix. And this was supposed to be
futuristic. You thought you'd have that. Absolutely. That will never happen.
Yeah.
Now look at
it. But anyhow, yeah, sure. Other updates?
Yeah, I'm going to speak at the Grants Pass High School Career Fair tomorrow morning, so I will miss you at the weekly business session. But I am excited to have that opportunity. Went out to Williams for the candidate forum last week. And they have, I believe, 12 people going after four spots with three alternates. So seven will get elected. And it goes by count. The one with the most votes gets the top four. And then the one with the least votes gets the three alternates. And they had some good candidates there, I'm glad to say.
Okay.
I'm going to go out and watch the election next Tuesday, I believe, out there in Williams, just as an observer. And so that's coming up. And I really like that they have a town council out in Williams, because it does give you some people to talk to when you have a question, a comment, or a future event. And so I've been talking with a few people out of Merlin, wondering if they're big enough to have some sort of town council.
It's not quite a town council, though.
Right. It's an advisory board.
For planning purposes only.
Yep.
So if they want an actual town council, that's a different formation. And we got to be careful that they're not taking more authority than what is actually authorized.
Right. They are a advisory board on land use only, but they use the meetings to also discuss happenings, what's going on. And so,
but if they want to have an actual town council, there may be a process for them to actually do that.
And I don't know what theirs is called. I thought it was the William Town Council, but maybe
it's a CAC.
Self-call that, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a town council.
Right, and so Merlin was talking about having some similar group that helped guide their town in the future. And so we'll
all see. All 11 of the areas had one. And as early as the 2000s, there was a Jump Off Joe Creek CAC, or Jump Off Joe CAC, because I noticed notes. Remember, I was looking back through old stuff. Drake, Tommy Drake's husband, was one of them. And so when this first came up a couple years ago, I was like, what is this? They're like, we got elections. It's like, what do you mean you have elections? You don't get ballots in the mail. You know, it's like, what is this process? So it is kind of curious, because people have reached out that they are taking that very seriously, but what is the authority of what they're allowed to do?
Right.
And if it's not that, then what do they have to look at to do something differently?
Right. Is it a misnomer?
Well, are people giving up their rights to due process because they think they have to go this process? It's great for the community involvement.
It is. They have some people that really care about what's going on, but they're also not screamers and yellers. They sit in a room and talk and work it through, and you know, I like watching the process in those small towns and small communities. I've been to the one in Tacoma. They have a little town council.
Self-voluntary?
It kind of is. It's kind of more of a board. And they're only talking about regular stuff in their community. They don't really recommend anything to the commissioners.
I think it's a good shock absorber, whatever they call it. It's kind of a good shock absorber, so the people, instead of come marching in here and they've got a sounding board of their peers out there to kind of say, you know, well, what do we all think about that?
Well,
my
only caution is they're elected to do this function for planning. The authority as an elected to do anything else in that area is not. But it's a great gathering point. I just think that there's not staff support to give them guidance of what they're allowed to do and not do under the name of the CAC.
Although there has been in the past some, and so they stay in contact with the planning office because that's their main mission, obviously. Yeah. And again, it's just another fail-safe to say, well, did you guys consider this when you're looking at this application?
Right. So. I don't want to discourage it because you've got a lot of people out there that are really enthusiastic about being on that board, council, or whatever, committee, or whatever they want to call it. Mm-hmm. And I would hesitate to go out there and say, yeah, you know, it's cute, but you know what? You don't have any authority and so forth. You know, you wasted your time and whatever.
Well, and I'm curious why they dissolved. Was it just lack of interest, lack of staff support with changes and stuff?
You mean because like the Jump Off Joe one?
Yeah, there were 11, I was told, of these CACs, and now we're down to one.
It might have been that nobody was listening to what they had to say.
It could be.
It could be that came to the Board of County Commissioners. But it might. And it was, I don't know who all was on there at the time, so, you know, what are you here for? Mm-hmm. You know, you have no authority. Yet, but
maybe Mark could give us an update on CACs and the process and what they are and their purpose. And maybe it's something we reach out to some communities, say, Merlin, this is something that you'd be interested in, especially if we're going to be putting some sidewalks through here. And Sunny Valley, you're looking for a meeting space. Here's your mechanism of having a community feedback on zoning.
They could hammer out most of the details and take all the...
If they're advisory, Yeah, it's not a bad idea to see what, not just what are their limits of they currently, but what can they be.
Right.
As a local community advisory of, okay, this is the Williams advisory, this is the Sunny Valley advisory or Wolf Creek advisory, you know, what are those community meetings that need to be having?
Yeah, and that even reflects in our conversation out at the weekly business session in Cave Junction, yeah. Is that they are the Cave Junction City Council, but it is kind of the voice of the Illinois Valley because everybody does their lives there in and out of that city, and so they have a dichotomy like we do with Grants Pass, where it's like, well, it's kind of where everybody has a voice, but do you need an IV council that helped advise on some things or do land use? I don't know, because it's a pretty big group,
yeah,
in that ring around. So I did miss the city council meeting last night in Cave Junction, so I don't have an update from them.
I just read notes on Facebook that said it was interesting. So
I think they're all interesting.
No, I think
was it on the park?
They have interesting
kind of baseball and lights and.
I didn't hear what the outcome was. I just know that Councillor Lindsay Jones posted something, and some people were like, "Well, that was an interesting meeting." And so if Cave Junction folks that go to the meeting regularly say it was an interesting meeting, you know it was an interesting meeting.
Well, I was trying to get an update from Jean Ann, so maybe I'll talk to her later. And
her husband was one of the ones that said, well, that was an interesting meeting. So I would like to know what happened with, because I went in on Friday and asked Leah to get information specifically to Becky.
Right.
Based on the
conversation we had.
Uh-huh. And I called Becky to let her know. And she says, I put it on agenda, so they have till 7 p.m. on Monday to get it to me. So, not sure what happened.
I'm not sure either. But that's all I have, except for we would be remiss if we didn't celebrate Trish's birthday.
Woo!
The forest of balloons and the big smile
on her face.
We should
have brought all the balloons in.
I know.
The balloons should follow her everywhere today.
This is what happens when you come in a back door. You don't know there's balloons.
Oh, right? No, there's a forest.
Happy birthday,
everywhere
Trish
goes today, we'll take the balloons.
Put them on my wrist
today. Yeah.
That's awesome.
But there is a lot of pressure to have fun on your birthday, so good luck.
There is. tonight, there's three events that I'm aware of that, one I got invited to yesterday, and I'm not sure how to do this because I have RSVP'd for the Homeless Task Force Alliance thing out in Cave Junction, and have committed to that, and they know I'm coming, so if I don't now, then that's an issue. But right. We also were invited out to Williams for a pesticide spray meeting, and then yesterday I get an email inviting me to come to a meeting in North Valley regarding Governor's Wildfire Council that FireSmart
FireWise.
They've invited Pam Marsh from Ashland, the state rep from Ashland, to come speak. And Mariani Ruiz Temple, the chief deputy state fire marshal, that's on my suppression subcommittee to speak. So, you know, doors open at 6, and I'm going to be in Cape Junction. So
I'm going to be at Fairboard.
And you're going to be at Fairboard.
I have FireWise on my schedule, but I don't know if I'm going to make it yet.
Okay. So
the Merlin one.
Yeah.
That'd be the most likely one I would land at.
Okay. Then I might email her and say to expect you instead. They offered me 5 minutes to speak, but it was one of those things that I was already committed out there.
Right.
So as far as formed a group, I had asked if we could consider one more person on the group to make it an odd number. Did you guys...
On which group?
No, okay. There was a concern about somebody not being eligible, and it sounded like everybody was okay with them being that, but I didn't get that from... I didn't understand that, so...
What group were you talking about?
So, Fire Task Force. There was one applicant that I wanted to endorse to be on there or ask for consideration. It would make it an odd number on the group.
Right.
It would... so
were they in the original pool?
They were, okay. And they got one, I think, recommendation. But I thought it was worth at least having the discussion. And if you, I had asked Annette to wait to send out the letters because I wanted to.
What's the purpose of odd number other than to break ties?
Yes.
But they all have to be there anyway. I mean, if they have one person doesn't show up to me, you're back to a tie. It's kind of like the city council over there. You just have a tiebreaker being the mayor.
Sure.
Right. So I don't know whether I see the point in it. However, I don't know how.
I wasn't doing it just to break the tie, though.
What's that?
Yeah. I wasn't doing it just to break the tie. We have.
How many's on there now? Eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this recommendation, Vivian Kirkpatrick Pilger is who I'm asking to be
for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think having folks that generally are the no new tax folks that can be a part of the conversation. She's a rural Metro customer in the South County, but a no new tax person. To be able to participate and hear how the conversations go, I think would be beneficial. And to having any information that she hears, I know will be shared through her circles.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean that as a positive.
Yeah.
She has served on different boards and stuff during the past, and I haven't seen her actually apply for anything that I've seen in the 3 years that I've been here. And so it's one of those things that it's like, well, have you applied? Well, she finally applied. So if then I don't give her an opportunity to actually be there to give feedback, how do I know?
Is she applying to a position that doesn't exist yet?
Created it. We don't have any positions.
Okay.
We determine how many positions there are. It's our board.
Yep. I'm not against that. I just want to get them moving.
I do too.
Yep.
But that was my wait, is I needed to hear feedback from you, and I need to call Herman as soon as we're done and get. Is there any movement?
I don't have any problem with Vivian being on there. I think that's good thinking to say, let's get the people in here that are going to carry the signs out front of the courthouse so that they're at least get the whole story.
And have an interest.
And they will have their say. Yeah, I have no problem.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, so I believe the next process would be a resolution, and then from a resolution the lenders go out, from what I understand.
Okay, so we need a resolution on the...
Squeeze it in tomorrow?
It's too late tomorrow.
Now, yeah.
Can it go Thursday?
You can't do a resolution on Thursday.
Only on Wednesdays.
I don't know. I just work here. Where's my legal assistant?
What do you see?
Trish is over there going,
yes,
but
ma'am.
You can't see.
The ex officio positions that you guys are going to sign, do you guys want those included on the resolution? Because they should probably have a resolution.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay.
So...
I don't think we need. Do you have anything on the agenda tomorrow already related to it? Okay.
And that is what it is.
I can bring it up under matters from commissioners or any other business that should rightfully come before the board. We need to address it.
Stretching it there.
Yeah.
You could do that. There's no doubt you could do that under other.
I don't... we can put the ex officio in there and just say a representative from, a representative from, a representative from, a representative from. And keep it simple like that. Just... Okay.
I believe that's what they're supposed to be.
So then the next step would be let's get it scheduled on the calendar as soon as possible. And we need to get a meeting space. Okay, so I attended drug court graduation on Friday. Congressman Walden was there and Representative Stark. I was impacted by it. This year, the drug court, one of the steps of drug court in order for you to phase and kind of go through your process is you have to volunteer and give back to somebody else. This year, their give back was to go up to the foster care camp that I've volunteered for the last few years, and they set up camp.
Oh, wow.
And all of them were blown away that this is for foster kids. These are kids, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And they worked hard to just set up the whole camp. And then two of the drug court participants stayed all week at camp.
Oh, wow.
And volunteered in the kitchen, and one was on the drama team as well. And they both graduated, those two that volunteered. They graduated Friday. But then I had two other people. One was acknowledged for the... Scott Titzler was the chief deputy DA who helped start drug court. He passed away in 2007 to cancer. And every year they have acknowledged a Scott Titzler Award of an outstanding previous graduate who is continuing to maintain and make an impact back in the community. And so what was interesting to me is probably one of the hardest days I ever had as a PO was a day that I was involved in helping DHS remove kids from a home. And it was a tough day. And the mom of those kids graduated on Friday. And separately, the Scott Titzler Award went to somebody I had been the PO to, who graduated drug court in 2016 and is now at Portland State University getting a bachelor's degree. And it's just...
That's cool.
One of the things that came up at Association of Warren Counties yesterday is community correction statewide was underfunded. So they... The formula for them making, there's this misnomer because they've had all these other funding sources that have come up in the last few years. Justice Reinvestment is one of them. But it's important for us to remember that Justice Reinvestment, JRI, is the diversion of people going to prison. We're trying to keep the prison numbers down because that's really expensive. And keeping somebody in the community is one-tenth of the cost of prison. So it's a matter of... Justice Reinvestment was the money they're saving from not opening another prison, investing back into community corrections. It's specifically to be for that diversion.
Sure.
So it can't just be spent on regular supervision is the point. They underfunded the regular supervision. So AOC is trying to go back and ask for, you have to fund us, or that opt-out that Nate talked about. So I brought up the drug court because, for me, it's a matter of what are we investing in that actually works in changing lives? What's that process? Mm-hmm. Prison doesn't change lives. It makes better criminals. In the community and supervision, it makes a difference. So it was kind of neat to be able to be at that event on Friday and see four people recognize. Yeah. Another one that I need you guys to be aware of, we're having a public hearing like we did before on the BLM Parks Exchange. It's going to be on October 30th. The maps have been updated. They should be online. I've asked that a press release go out. I don't know where the status is. I need to check my email this morning to see if anyone responded to that request yesterday. But this was Congressman DeFazio's office's ask that we come back and do another presentation on the updated list. And we present that, all right, we took out the seed orchards, we took out the big portions around Lake Selmec, we're just doing this.
Kind of what
here's
it's
what we're
down
getting,
to.
Here's what we're asking. And want to make sure that we get that public feedback on the 30th. So
did they send us a list of absolutely none, like the seed orchard, you know, that we're not going to talk about that?
We got that.
We got that.
Yeah. Well, because we sat in a public hearing and we heard public comment.
Yeah.
So
we produced that list that we don't want the seed orchards, we don't want them.
Okay. Correct.
Right.
I didn't know BLM had a list of stuff. That maybe they don't.
We met with BLM. Okay. There's one that they want to keep that we're asking for. But we'll think we can maintain it better. And we think, and that's specifically Whitehorse. You can't get to it except going through our park. That is our number one project of rehabilitating right now.
Yeah.
And so, and I was very upfront with DeFazio's office about that. I said, I will not be secret on these. I'll give you full disclosure on everything so you know what's up and there's no secrets and backstabbing and undermining and here's the information. And so they know this.
I think it's good to stay on the ask end and not keep caving. So... Because that's good negotiations. That keeps you showing what you think is important.
We're gathering the details on how much we do and the maintenance of their stuff. And so I do want you to have a heads up that one of our gives is Hog Creek. So Hog Creek had three BLM with one little county. We think they can maintain that.
Yeah.
And
it's
even
almost
the upper is
the white horse, yeah.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
So, oh, pardon me. I will mute that. Didn't know it wasn't. So just wanted you to have a heads up. We can get you the list and the maps ahead of time so you're familiar with, but wanted you to be aware of that October 30th
sure.
meeting.
Sounds good.
Okay. I'm going to wait on that, so...
Anything else from
One
you?
Thing I'd heard from Bob Strasser on last week, and Jackson County is not interested in the regional seasonal.
So
that's off the table.
Coos is also told me yesterday.
That's off the table. So
okay.
I think that's a grave mistake, but hey, now I'm just something I'm going to sit back on my haunches and let everybody else figure it out. If I don't get any support for stuff like that, that's fine. I did talk to Cape Junction afterwards, and they were just, when do we start? But
yeah.
I did talk to Bob Trusser. I'm going to set up an audience with Rick Dyer and Colleen Roberts and just say, here, you can put this packet away, and, you know, if it's now is not the time, fine. But at least you have the proposal in front of you, and when you want to make it your idea, you can do that.
The, okay, appreciate that. The other one that, if you guys have the ability to reach out, Colleen Roberts approached me yesterday about, we have the coordinated wildfire protection plan, and I know that Sarah and the Fire Defense Chief Board are going to be meeting with you guys individually, but Colleen has made some specific asks of change of documentation to reiterate what we had signed in a resolution last year, that they're going to put fires out fully in fire season, and there has been pushback from the fire defense boards, but she has language specifically that she has, they agreed to this language, but she saw this in addition to what she was asking. They were hoping this meant she's dropping her ask. She is not, and she wanted that to be clear. So I will give this to Annette so she can give it to you guys. I've told Sarah, I said, Sarah, we most likely would support what she's asking, because we have agreed that we want fires fully suppressed in fire season. And Sarah's response is that, but it goes in certain spaces. So the thing is it's signed by both boards. It's signed by both fire defense chiefs and ODF. And ODF is going to be meeting with her again, and I don't know where it's at, but she thought they were waiting on us to sign this. Our folks never brought it to us because they were hoping to change her mind. So ODF and Medford Fire Defense Chief never signed off on it, so they never bothered to bring it to Josephine County. She thought they were waiting on us to sign because her board had agreed to it. So I just want to make sure that you guys have the language that she presented. Sarah and the staff have legitimate stuff of, well, no, there's a reason to do this in these circumstances. That's fine, but we also have a resolution saying we support putting the fires out fully, so how does that wording work? So I wanted you to be aware that she asked that. The other one is we have that upcoming meeting with Port Voice and the salmon restoration. So far I haven't heard that Jackson County, Bob Strasser may come, but I think it'd be beneficial if it was our full boards. So I don't know if there's a potential of reaching out and saying, would you please come? We would like you to be there so we're all on the same page as the three counties.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I just got last night an agenda from Julie Smeltzer. She sent an agenda to go out to the board. And it has Curry County, Josephine County, and Jackson County's letterhead up on top.
Uh-huh.
So I can send this out. It looks like they're involved, Jackson County.
So when I asked Colleen yesterday if she was coming, she said, oh, I think Bob's going to that one.
Okay.
So it doesn't sound like they're intending for Rick and
Jackson
Colleen.
Jackson County is never really excited about doing anything other than for just Jackson County. I'm finding that.
I understand, but I think if we asked...
lump them in Mullane here one of these days.
If we asked, with those that we have relationships with, you go to meetings with Rick.
Mm-hmm. And with John.
Bob. So I just think that we have relationship with them, and we can continue to build relationship with them, and I think we need to continue to think in those terms of how we can. So if we can reach out and say, we're hosting, will you please come?
And when's that scheduled?
Halloween?
Yes.
30th, right?
31st.
31st.
Yeah.
Oh, I was still stuck on BLM last.
Yeah.
I need a phone number for Steve Byer. I didn't get a chance. I have something I need to ask.
Do you have it?
Okay. All right. Anything else, folks? Oh, I was asked to get feedback, just so you know, I'm going to be asking our animal people. Multnomah County is wanting legislation to change statewide to decouple the requirement for animal licensing with rabies shots. So right now, you can't license your dog unless you can show proof the dog's had its rabies shot. And they want the rabies shot to still be required, but they don't want it to be required to get the license. And so they've asked that come back to all the counties to get feedback on what implications that would be. And they're asking that state law be changed to require cats to have rabies shots. So right now, rabies shots are fairly expensive. They're about $50. And the animal shelters are not allowed to give those shots. So it's one of our bigger expenses of working with veterinarians, of having to get rabies shots of animals that come in and go out kind of thing.
Well, I see that as a double-edged sword, because if you say, okay, you have to have a rabies shot or you can't get your license.
That's what the law currently is.
Yeah, then the guy says, I don't want to get a license, and it's fine with me. So I think that's where they're thinking about, okay, you get that rabies shot requirement out of it, we'll go ahead and license your dog, and then recommend to get a rabies shot?
No, it's still state law, you have to have one. But what they were able to do is they have an online registration for the dog licensing. And what they could see is people would put all their information to re-register their dog, and then when they had to upload the proof of the rabies, that's where everybody left and didn't come back.
They didn't come back. Yeah.
So they can show that's the stopper. And it is, because most of the vet might have the information. I need to call my vet regarding. Yeah. So it's one of those things. So they wanted us to get feedback. So I'm going to be asking for feedback. This isn't something that initiated with us. It's something we were asked to bring back. So I wanted to give you a heads up.
Right. And our folks should have an opinion on that.
Yeah. It's actually one of the recommendations on the fees is that we wanted to eliminate the late fee on dog licensing, because we don't want to keep...
Discourage?
Yeah, we want people to license their animals. It's state law, and it's better to be licensed so we can find them if we find their animal and get the animal back to them.
Sure.
So that's one thing that'll be coming for you. All right, I think that's all the updates that I have for you.
Okay.
Oh, one AOC, we're down to 4 candidates for the executive director, and they'll be interviewed on the 15th and then go before the finals. We'll go to the conference.
I noticed our director was absent yesterday.
Anybody interesting?
Did he come to the board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody interesting?
So,
I'm pretty sure about that. You didn't say, well.
You asked.
I was an outlier. So anyhow, okay, we can be adjourned at 10:18.